And the title of Ms. Waters' presentation is Behavioral Immunization Guides, Translation of Immunization Records Across the U.S.-Mexican Border. Okay? There you go. That's it. Okay.
Thank you.
And we're making very good time, so make sure you're writing down your questions, because the presenters have certainly stimulated interest in each of these areas.
There you go. Down here.
Right.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to share about our binational immunization guide. I think I will use this. Okay. We have no relationships to disclose. And just a few words about our immunization branch, which is part of Public Health Services for the County of San Diego. We work with many community partners to support a high immunization coverage rate in San Diego County. And some of our partners include public health centers, community health centers, private medical providers, hospitals, schools, and community organizations. San Diego has a mature immunization registry, and it's used by over 100 facilities. We've recently begun promoting the registry to the public, and we have encouraged the public to submit chipper little phone.
Sorry.
There. We've encouraged members of the public to submit their immunization records to us, so we have kind of a steady stream of those coming in, even if their medical home is not participating in the registry. Carlos is a binational child who was born in Tijuana in 1997. His parents work in the United States, and his family receives health care from medical providers on both sides of the border. Carlos's mother has been very diligent about keeping her well child appointments and getting all recommended immunizations. In 2002, Carlos and his family moved to San Diego as legal residents. Carlos is ready to start kindergarten, and his mother enrolled him in the elementary school in their neighborhood, which required that he have documentation of that he was up to date on all of his vaccinations. The family did have their immunization record from Mexico, but of course it looks different from the California immunization record. And so the school requested that he go to a local pediatrician for his kindergarten shots. And by kindergarten shots, I mean that those shots, those immunizations recommended for children between the ages of 4 and 6, so sometimes called kindergarten shots. At the pediatrician's office, there was a new medical assistant. Although she was bilingual in Spanish and English, she did not have much medical clinic experience in Mexico or in the border region. And she didn't recognize all of the vaccines on Carlos's immunization record. Her supervisor gave her the bilingual immunization guide to help translate the record and determine what Carlos needed to meet his school entry requirements. Fortunately for Carlos, he was able to get only those shots that he needed for school, and he did not have to repeat doses that he had already had or follow a catch-up schedule unnecessarily. While the diseases against which vaccines are given are the same in Mexico and the United States, the immunization schedules and the combinations of vaccines are not exactly congruent. Carlos is one of many children who faces this situation, and this is the reason behind the development of the binational immunization guide that was developed by immunization workers in San Diego and in Mexico. A few words about San Diego County, if you're not familiar with this area. It's the second largest county in California with a population of 3.1 million people. And we're separated on the north from Orange County. There's a large military base there, Camp Pendleton. And then on the east, we have Riverside and Imperial counties. We have a distinctive and varied geography. There's 70 miles of coastline along the western edge. We have mountains in the northeast, the Sonoran Desert along the east, the Cleveland National Forest there across the kind of the central portion of the county, and the Anza Borrego Desert also in the southeast. The crossing between San Diego and Tijuana is considered to be one of the busiest, if not the busiest, international border crossing in the world. It's estimated that 17 million vehicles and 50 million people cross into the United States from Mexico every year. An average of about 30,000 pedestrians, 35,000 vehicles, and 250 buses enter the United States every day at San Ysidro. In 2007, it's estimated that 79 million people crossed between California and Mexico. So it gives you an idea of the traffic between the two. California shares a 140-mile section of the 1,952-mile international border with Mexico. The two countries have defined the United States-Mexico border region as the area within 62 miles or 100 kilometers of the border, either side of the border. California's border region is home to about 40% of the United States-Mexico border population. And this region includes San Diego and Imperial counties on the United States side and Tijuana, Tecate, and Mexicali on the Mexico side. There are over 4 million people in the combined population of San Diego and Tijuana, making this one of the largest binational metropolitan areas along the border. We estimate that 30% of the population in San Diego is Hispanic or Latino, and that 43% of children under age 18 are Latino. This area is distinctive in the way that populations are interconnected. People move back and forth between the two countries for economic reasons, for education, and for health care, and for recreation. Residents of Tijuana may come to San Diego for health care because they have a relationship with a physician or a clinic, or because they work here. People in San Diego may travel to Tijuana because they are seeking culturally appropriate providers or to find less expensive health care services and products. With immunizations, we hear anecdotally that Mexicans may bring their children for vaccines in the United States because the children are attending school here, and there may be a misunderstanding about which vaccines are needed and how they compare to what the child's already received in Mexico. Public health officials in the United States and Mexico share a common goal of maintaining high immunization coverage rates for children. According to Healthy Border 2010, an agenda for improving health on the United States-Mexico border, the national coverage rate in the Mexican border states is 97.5% for the population under 5 years of age, and it's approximately the same percent coverage rate here as well. In September 2001, the County of San Diego Immunization Program liaison to the Border Health Office was approached by the Tijuana Health Department, and they were interested in developing a binational effort to address immunization issues affecting residents of the Tijuana-San Diego region. After some initial discussion, it was agreed that the formation of a binational coalition would facilitate the identification of border area immunization issues and help to coordinate efforts to resolve them. The Binational Immunization Initiative was established and began meeting in October 2001 to discuss cross-border immunization health issues. The partners included public health agencies, healthcare organizations, child care organizations, public health centers, community clinics, WIC centers, and so forth, many community partners. And these partners shared the common need to understand and interpret immunization records, messages, and policies of immunization systems in Mexico and the United States. The purposes of the initiative were to share information about rapidly changing immunization issues, to strengthen existing communication structures, to strengthen partnerships and create new ones, to enhance professional education on immunization topics, to provide a forum to discuss immunization-related issues affecting populations and audiences, and to develop innovative mechanisms for sharing information. One of the first issues raised to the Binational Immunization Initiative was a request from school personnel in Baja California who needed to understand what immunizations recorded on the California immunization record meant in terms of Mexican school requirements. Children seeking to enroll in Tijuana preschools who had a California record were not being allowed to enroll because the school staff were unable to determine whether they met their immunization requirements. So then the schools requested that children get a Mexican immunization record, and this was a problem for the parents and for the Tijuana Department of Public Health. The Binational Immunization Committee members collaboratively designed the first guide for schools, and it was designed to assist the school staff in interpreting California immunization records. This eliminated the need for schools to ask children to get a Mexican immunization record and relieved the Tijuana Department of Health of the need to issue new records. And it was also then useful for California schools and health clinic staff who were trying to understand the Mexican health record. Developing the guide was a labor-intensive effort that required multiple meetings and discussions. Clinical experts were involved to assure that equivalencies and comparisons were technically accurate. Approvals for the guide went through several levels of public health authorities on both sides of the border. When the first guide was approved in 2002, school officials from Tijuana requested that the Tijuana Department of Health provide an official letter to the school district indicating that the guide was supported by the Tijuana health officials and saying that the California immunization record was an acceptable document for children trying to get into school. A survey was distributed in 2003 to immunization providers in California to determine the usefulness of the guide. We sent out 200 surveys to providers in California, primarily in the San Diego area, but some in Northern California as well, and received 84 responses. Approximately 78% thought the guide was helpful or somewhat helpful, and a similar percentage said the guide helped them learn about childhood immunizations that were available in Mexico. Approximately 77% found it helpful for interpreting vaccine spacing intervals as well. Excuse me. If you've been working in the field of immunizations or childhood health, or if you have a new baby in your life somewhere, you probably realize that the number of vaccines has tripled over the last generation. The number of doses, the number of products available have increased, and making the recommended schedule very complex. The original guide, Binational Immunization Guide, was updated in San Diego in 2005 and again in 2007. So the 2007 one is the most current one that we have. Of course, this year now, there are new changes to the recommended schedule. There's some new vaccines, new multivalent vaccines, and the recommendation for influenza vaccine, which hopefully you've all heard about from your public health department, now includes healthy children aged 6 months to 18 years of age. So that's not reflected on the binational guide. To make this binational effort successful, it was important to identify and have the participation of key players from both countries with the authority to make decisions about what information was appropriate to have in the guide. The question of whether to update the binational guide has been raised. To do so, or to do it effectively, would require staff who are dedicated to that task, and they have sufficient time allocated to work with the key stakeholders and the technical resources to assure that the tool is accurate. You would need to have somebody who is bilingual in English and Spanish and who understands the healthcare and political systems on both sides of the border. Since San Diego developed the guide, Texas has produced one, and Arizona has also produced one. And there have been presentations on these various guides at the National Immunization Conference and other other forums on immunizations. And it, we get requests from it from not only from other border states, but other states in the U.S. Who have Mexican immigrant populations. Because Mexico's record is a national document, there should be thought given to producing a binational guide that translates requirements on a national level from the U.S. perspective. That would mitigate the inequity that made collaboration complicated when it was being negotiated between a local county and the national medical Mexican system. Our recommendations are to continue supporting binational public health efforts to assure that children are appropriately protected against vaccine-preventable diseases, to assure that appropriate public health officials and clinical expertise are represented on any efforts to revise the binational guide, to include community health workers, such as promotoras, to help in the distribution of the guide, and to explore expanding electronic immunization registries in border regions to facilitate communication and help us maintain the health of populations on both sides of the border. And just thank you very much. Thank you to my co-authors.
I don't know if I can go back to the major. Can you go back to the front page?
Yeah, I think so.
This, they're looking at others, or resume?
Got to page all through this now.
Okay, thank you very much for your willingness to stay through this and to hear all of these very excellent presentations. I hope that you have been stimulated by the provocative and insightful and sometimes sparking your interest with regard to some of the issues. The floor is open now for your questions. Yes, ma'am. Please identify your name and affiliation.
At the end of an aisle, one aisle, I think, north of the CDC area.
Okay.
And we also have them on our website at CIZ.org.
Yes, ma'am.
That's one of the additional factors that people told me to include in my list of 16. It's complex. That's an interesting hypothesis. Then there are some, what about polio? So why a global polio eradication campaign that no longer is a threat to the West, but nevertheless gets global political attention. So I think it's a very interesting hypothesis. There's probably truth to it, but each one of these factors deserves additional inquiry.
Just following up your question, your theory is very conceptual and logical, but yet the operationalization of those constructs is, I think, a very, very difficult area. How well have you do you feel that you have actually quantified those to begin to explain the amount of variance?
We're working on it. We're working on a paper concerning just what is the global health agenda and how would you know if something is on it.
Okay.
And that demands some form of quantification.
Okay.
We don't even know what that concept means. So we're in the pre-quantification phase.
Okay.
But I accept the need to move toward quantification in order to be able to test the validity of these propositions.
Yes. Maybe source of information when you ask them where have they heard, that might be very perceptive too. Other questions? Yes, you want to follow up?
I agree. We did have a problem with accessing more of the private sector service providers. The 215 was largely the public sector and NGO sectors. We tried not to include so much of the private sector because one of the aims of the study was to create a service directory that would show people, it was for easy access to these services. And then it became an issue of if you include some of the private GPs, you would need to include all of them, and some of the GPs not necessarily wanted to be included in the list. With regards to the VCTs, yes, you're right, but that estimate was for the total population based on the assumption that everybody needs a service. The number would actually be smaller if we should have looked at the sexually active population.
Other questions? I have a question for Dr. Wong. The National Health Insurance Program in Taiwan is a very interesting activity, a very interesting source of health of insurance, and the tremendous amount of coverage that is being available. Looking at underutilization and overutilization of the elderly is a major concern because we see number of visits of older significantly different, and maybe this is the worried well that may be overutilizing. How is the government handling the issue? Because you mentioned the importance of health education as maybe one of your recommendations.
My bureau has a very good database.
Yes.
So we will do lots of profile analysis to monitoring the overuse or underuse situations. And we will collaborate with the association collaborate with medical associations. And we will discuss with the medical doctors how to solve such kind of medical problem.
Does anybody want to follow up with that issue? Okay. Other questions? I have one question for Dr. Dice. How generalizable do you feel your population sample is with regard to the at-risk groups that were identified and also looking at participation rate from those that were surveyed and requested to participate?
Sure. The participation rate was about 95%. Participants were given a monetary incentive to complete the interview and for their time in the study. So generally, we recruited very fast as a result. And so mainly the reasons why people weren't eligible for the study was for not meeting some of the risk criteria that we had outlined. But generally, once we screened and invited people to participate with a monetary incentive, they were happy to do so. The first question about the generalizability of our findings, it's a good question in terms of how we conducted the outreach. We went to sort of the drug using and, you know, areas of Tijuana where there's also more of the commercial sex trade. So our sample could be biased in that it was a word of mouth or street outreach based sample, but at least in terms of reaching the high risk individuals based on the risk factors that we were able to elicit, we think it's pretty representative.
Did you use the method that you the quantum ferrin technique as opposed to the Mantoux test because of a high proportion of BCGs
exactly.
and false
yes.
positives?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't explain that, but quantum ferrin is not sensitive to it doesn't cross react with BCGs, so it can be used in any setting where BCG is used.
Do you want to elaborate more on the misperception with regard to BCG as a protective, as a vaccine that is good for life?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the really interesting things
yes.
in our study. And I think it speaks to, in general, I sort of talked about the missed opportunities at the time of testing and treatment, but even in general, before people get to that point, there's a wide sort of misunderstanding of just what BCG vaccine does. And also because, at least in this country, when people come from other places where they may have received BCG vaccine and they have a positive skin test, it's uncertain what that positive skin test means.
Right.
So there's a lot of real misinformation or misunderstanding of what BCG does in all settings.
For those active patients that were treated previously, did you get information on completion of care?
In this sense, we did. And I don't have that off the top of my head, but I know that in Mexico, most people who are found to only have latent TB infection
yes.
do not receive any kind of treatment unless
right.
they're contacts of a case
exactly.
or HIV positive.
Right.
For the people who reported having a history of TB disease, we found that roughly about 95% of them complete treatment. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did you find any multiple drug-resistant strains in
For that, we would have needed to do a culture,
right.
and we haven't done that. That's one of the studies we've now proposed to the NIH,
okay.
but we haven't done multi-drug resistant testing.
Right. Other questions that you may have? If not, thank you all for your attention and your attendance, and please feel free to come up here and discuss more questions with our audience, with our guest speakers. Thank you very much. So, Dr. Wong.
Health education is very important. So my bureau will also provide
In the United States, education for diabetic patients is reimbursable from our insurance company. That's the only education that is reimbursable by insurance companies in America. All of the other counseling for smoking cessation, there's no reimbursement. So that's something.
So you're involved with a lot of the field research.
So these are only physicians that are being reimbursed,
right.
or?
Right, exactly.
Yes, because in the entire system, we contract with the hospital,
yes.
the clinics, so we pay to the recognition.
Oh. So the, but what about the health educator?
But we cannot pay directly to the educator.
But indirectly they're getting paid by the...
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jeremy.
I got it.
What?
Good luck to you in your studies at Syracuse, and look forward to further publications on your concept.
Yes.
Dr. Huang is my co-author.
I know Dr. Huang.
She's my co-author.
Yes. Well, she's cool, Joshua. Yummy. Gosh. And then we are also graduates of the same alma mater, Baltimore Johns Hopkins. Oh, it certainly is a pleasure. So,
I need to go to another question for
FDA. Oh, okay. Zaijian, have a good, have a good trip up north.
Thank you for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. And good luck to you. Are you going to other presentations now, or? Yeah, we have. I think the poster sessions are also very good.
Mm-hmm.
Poster sessions. So.
Sure.
Have a good, productive visit. Hello. You're all done?
No, I'm trying to do one.
Wait a minute.
That's your phone.
So you're for the next the next session?
Yeah.
Good, okay. Good luck to you. I don't know if this
so
is...
So they'll come in to change.
Okay.
They said they'll come in.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this is a a monitoring device you can use for the number of minutes. Maybe there's something that you can set the time here.
Okay.
And then it will, I know,
okay,
go down like 15 minutes for each person.
Okay. Thank you.
Somebody was supposed to come in to make sure this was set up, and the lady promised she would come in to make sure that... Actually, I saw four of them or so was in there already.
Okay.
One of them was... I mean, somebody didn't show up. I don't know who it is, but I think there are four of them in there already.
Okay.
So the lady, I'm waiting for her to come in. She said she's going to come in and set it up.
Okay. I think mine looked like it had loaded, and I brought a pen drive.
I can see. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And then, who does the time?
I think I do, but normally she's, I think that this is supposed to also help tell you.
Wonderful.
Yes,
oh,
tell
good.
You how much.
I've practiced so many times.
I know.
This time is different.
It is. But what people do, they try to cut off, like, data. If it's not, if it's running out of time, you just cut off some stuff.
This
year, some people didn't, attend that much, like in Washington, I think that's one of the biggest attended of us in.
Really?
This year, it wasn't as much. Even the exhibitors wasn't, I mean, Washington was huge.
Maybe
I guess it's the flight, the money, economy is not.
People
to pay like almost $100,000 just to fly.
Yeah.
And they're not even giving them discount. I mean, $200 something a night is not even a discount.
We wound up paying at the UConn, so.
You're kidding.
No, my colleague and I, we booked rooms, and so we're in a 4-bedroom, and the whole, for 3 nights, it's $70 total.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you can get a hotel for $90, $80.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, why does APH every year $200? I'm lucky. I mean, I have, our preferred guest, you know, with Sheraton Weston, so I know it's okay, but to me, students paying that kind of money, and people,
yeah,
come on.
Too much.
I mean, people in the public, I don't get that paid very well, so
no.
I wonder how,
yeah,
there is really expensive, and maybe that's something they'd have to look into.
I think so. I mean, ways of doing this more cheaply, and then the food is so much, it's just mind-blowing. Like a banana, $2.
That's what I, the last one I went, I was so mad, croissant, $6 a piece.
Oh.
I said, it's not going to happen, I'm going to bring my croissant from home.
Exactly. I know, I have food today.
I said, I'm going to eat very well in the hotel I paid. I've never seen anything like this. I've been to California everywhere. The buffet was $22. Even if it's a lunch, come on. Come on. It's for eggs and for food. I mean, most places will charge you $12, $9.
Yeah.
In Western Gaslam. I just said, you know what, that's my dinner for the day.
Yeah.
It was not worth it. I mean, they're really taking advantage. If this is something that's a service for the public, they should make the hotels bring it down. Or if I'm the person, I'll go inspect them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how the something is wrong over there. The cockroach here.
The food isn't cold, and this isn't hot, is it? Yeah.
I mean, they have to make them give back to the community. These are the people who are working for the nation.
It's true.
And now they should make them give back something. Even airlines. I mean, come on.
No, it's just shocked. I can't.
And this is not
so
every
fun.
Year. It's not like most people. It's every year. So I don't see how they can negotiate something. The airline ticket from the AP was quite expensive. I went to Expedia and I got something a lot cheaper.
Really?
Yeah, like $200 or something.
Where did you fly in?
From Connecticut.
Oh, that's really good.
And they told me $800 for. I'm like, yeah, right.
Ooh.
And then you pay for your registration, like $500. I mean, come on.
I know.
Next year, if the economy goes on, they're not going to see nobody here.
Nobody's going to be at home. Yeah. I think the registration was way too high. It's really high. I think they don't teach.
That's what I'm saying. Not even lunch. Not even anything free. I mean, I wonder what the money's for. I don't know.
I know. I'm sure the building is expensive, but it can't be
$385. It's a lot. As long as you can afford, and then you pay for the hotel, you pay for your food. Even if it's breakfast at home, they put in, you know, people can see it. Or cut down the money so they can take, you know.
Yeah.
I think this year was really big. We couldn't go. The money was.
We had the same problem.
The money was just ridiculous. I mean, to put up on the money, you have to feed the family. I look at the bank system, what is going on. You wonder, should I do this or should I just.
I know. I had put in my travel request like back in July.
Yeah.
And I think if I hadn't, I would have just canceled.
Because of. Economy
9,
so
nobody's
gonna pay
for
it to sit down here.
No, and listen to everybody.
Did the
stock market go down again yesterday?
I know. Because you hear this thing, I saw one of my stocks, $2,000. I said, that's it, I'm done. I'm not even looking again. I'm like, somebody must have
$2,000. Hi.
How are you?
I'm Stacey Cunningham.
Hi, Obi.
Nice to meet you.
Diana. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
just
pretty. Thank you very much. Can you just
give her a seat? I don't know how you guys want to do it.
Well,
I don't really care. I'm
last.
I guess
I'll
come in. Oh, you are?
I'm last.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess you're the extreme. Yeah.
I'll go at the very. I think I'm second to last, but I don't. I'm not. I'm at 1, I think.
Oh, well, no, I'm at 1:30. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I should look
at
it
again. I'm like, oh, I'm getting a little bit confused as far as time goes.
It's not just you.
Maria Boyle, who's first? Linda, second. Naya, you third.
I'm third, okay.
This person, I don't think she's showing up.
Oh, really? Oh, that's a bummer.
I know.
You know what we can do then? If we have 15 extra minutes, let's get people to network.
Oh, okay.
Maybe what we could do is maybe if we've got, because if we've got that much more time, maybe what we could do is we could say, you know, who's doing nutrition, who's doing physical activity.
That'd be a good idea. And then get them to talk about what they've
done. Especially since it's lunchtime and many have or have not eaten yet.
I know. So expensive. I can't believe the This is beautiful, but it's expensive.
I am just
This is beautiful. I love it. I don't know how they maintain the city. It's beautiful, but it's expensive.
It's really expensive. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, what if we help? Oh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you in the next session?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Let me just check this.
Typos on mine. Is it possible to reload?